We're starting a new series in Igeret Teiman, the famous letter the Rambam sent to the Jews in the city of Yemen. It was during a period when there was a new government in Yemen, and they decreed that the Jews have to convert to Islam or die, and they had the option to flee. Now, the Rambam wrote this letter from Egypt. At that time he was living near Cairo, and he was already a famous rabbi, and he writes the letter to one of the leaders of the congregation there, instructing him on what they should be doing in such a time. And in the letter, the Rambam will also give us perspective on how to view our exile, how to view the suffering that we're undergoing throughout this whole period. As always, we will read the Hebrew text and the translation. We're going to be working off of this edition, the Mossad Hareb Kook edition. Yes.
So there were even the option to flee to where? Egypt?
Yeah.
The
You see, they were able to flee. The Rambam himself fled. The Rambam's father fled. Throughout our history, when Jews were persecuted, they fled. P'tichat Igeret, the beginning of the letter. Mini ana Moshe Rabbi Maimon Hadayan. I'm sending a letter from me, Moshe, the son of Rabbi Maimon, the judge of Rabbi Yosef HaChacham, son of Rabbi Yosef, the rabbi, Rabbi Yitzchak Rav, Rabbi Ovadia Dayan, Zech Tzadkim Toshim V'racha. He lists his lineage, I don't know why. From me, Moshe, the son of Maimon, the son of Yosef, the son of Yitzchak, the son of Rabbi Ovadia, the judge, Zech Tzadkim Ukdoshim Livracha. By the way, Maimon is a non-Jewish name. Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon. What? We are on page Kuf Gimel in these editions. Kuf Gimel. You see page Kuf Beis, not Chaf Kuf Beis, Kuf Gimel. Chazeku yadayim rafot uvukayim koshelot ameitzu. The verse says in Isaiah, strengthen the hands that have weakened and the knees that are stumbling, give them strength. Lichvot gadol v'kadosh mav rav Yaakov v'chacham v'nechmad ha'ikar nechbad. In honor of the great, holy, honorable Rabbi Yaakov, the wise one, who is so beloved and precious, ben kvod mav rav Netanel zichrono livracha, the son of the honorable Rabbi Netanel of blessed memory, ben alafayume, the son of alafayume, uvichlal kol alufenu achenu. I'm writing this to the rabbi and to the congregations. Kol tamidei kilot sheberetz Teiman, the disciples of the congregations in the land of Yemen, yishmerem tzuram v'yagen ba'adam amen sela. May their rock, may God protect them and shield on their behalf. Amen forever. Al shoshei ha'emet yeidu gizehem. He says, if you want to know if the roots are true, just look at the trunk. The trunk will give testimony to the truth of the roots. Val tuv ha'mayanot yasidu novehem. And if you want to know if the underground stream has good water, just look at the overground stream that comes out of it, and you'll know what's hiding underground. He's using all this as an allegory. He's going to say how the rabbi that they have now comes from a lineage, from a family of great people. So he's saying, just like you could tell a root by its trunk, and you could tell an underground stream based on the stream that emanates from it, so too, from the root of truth, there has grown a young sapling of truth. And from the stream of kindness, there's this huge river flowing through Yemen, Lashkot Beim Kol Ganim. This stream, this river, is going to water all the different gardens, Lafriach HaNitzanim, to help the young saplings give fruit. So this tree is, this stream is going in every direction, and it gives anyone who's thirsty or tired in the desert, gives it drink. And anyone who's traveling, even long journeys, always finds what they need within that stream. He's referring to this rabbi. He's about to give them a whole long speech about how to behave. So he begins by saying, you guys have the greatest rabbi. He's the greatest stream. He gives everyone all the Torah they need. But if you ask me, I'll tell you anyways, right? That's why throughout Spain and all the different countries it's been renowned, it's been known throughout the land. Whoever's thirsty can go to that water. You guys have a rabbi that everyone can come to and ask him their questions. And the different merchants, they all testify. They found a great pasture, a great place to graze their sheep, where everyone can get fat, eating off the food of this stream. The stream, again, is the allegory for the rabbi. And you, the people of Yemen, are fortunate to have such a wonderful shepherd. We know about you, the people of Yemen. You're all wonderful people. You do charity. When people are hungry, you give them to eat. He says, you guys have a good eye. You do kindness. You're kind to the poor and you're kind to the wealthy. There are people who know how to be kind to the poor, but they're very cruel to the wealthy. You guys know how to do everything. And it's well known that in Yemen, you always extend your hand to strangers that come into town. And we know how kind you are, that you always take in guests. And anyone travels by there can rest by you. And just spending time with a great congregation like you guys causes us to have no more sorrow in this world. And we heard about you in Yemen, that you guys learned Torah all day long. You go on our tradition with the Talmud as well. You pursue justice, you ensure that things are done correctly in your community. We know you guys are great, you maintain the Torah. Who is the Rambam writing this to? We have to understand the psychology here. He's writing this to a bunch of people that are considering converting to Islam. And they're asking the Rambam, prove to us, explain to us, what are we supposed to do? Is Ahmed the Mashiach here? So the Rambam begins by telling them, I know you guys are great, you guys learn Torah so well, and you're famous for your kindness and your diligence in adhering to the Torah and the oral tradition. That's the way, if you're going to tell someone, no, you shouldn't convert, you have to remain Jewish, and there's no way that Judaism accepts this religion. So he has to begin by telling them, I know you're great, I know you keep Torah, I know you learn, I know you run a wonderful community. And then he's going to give it to them. But you have to first set it up to show the person. I mean, if you're ever going to have to rebuke someone, the first thing you have to do is show connection, show you have an appreciation for the person. Then you could start talking to them about the answers to their questions and the guidance that they need. Yeah?
So, two questions. First one, who got this letter? Was it something that you sent to the rabbi that he then read to the whole community?
Well, here, the letter will address that question. Okay. Next.
Were there a lot of Jews in Timon that converted to Islam?
Let's see the letter. Mekabtzim. We know about you, the Jews of Yemen. You all maintain the values of the Torah, the principles of the Torah in a true way, and you give excellent speeches and you gather the masses to maintain the way of the Torah. We know your congregations are diligent in performance of all the mitzvos, in your congregation there are no exceptions. Your congregations of everyone's a wonderful God-fearing person. Baruch Hashem asher lo hashbit mekamei Torah v'shomrei chukim bayim ha'chukim. Blessed is Hashem who maintained communities that there's never a pause, there's never a break in tradition, even in far-out places like Yemen. Kasher yivtichanu b'tuvo v'chasdo yidei Yeshayah avdo, as God promised us in His kindness and His goodness through His servant Isaiah the prophet. Vatemaot. And I want you to know, the Rambam tells the Jews of Yemen, you're the sign. You guys are the fulfillment of the prophecy. Kasher odianu, as the prophet says, miknaf ha'aretz mirot shamanu. From the edge of the land, from the extremities, we hear songs of praise. Yisadchem Hashem lakim dat v'chuka. May God help you to maintain the faith and the statutes. Lishmo mishpat u'tzedakah. To maintain the justice and the righteousness. Linzo mitzvato v'dato. To maintain His faith, His commandments. Lechoz bivrito. To hold on to God's covenant. Amen sila. So he begins by a long paragraph of praise. You guys are wonderful. You guys are great. Everyone's talking about you. You have the most amazing rabbi. And you're the most amazing community. Everyone knows that.
Did anybody know that?
Yeah, he wouldn't lie. Rambam wouldn't lie. Now, when we got your letter here the beloved rabbi, he writes to him, when we received your letter in Egypt, everyone was found it pleasant. It was a delight to read. And reading your letter was testimony about you, that you are obviously a trusted servant of God who learns in God's palace. We recognize in you a man who stands staunchly by God's flag. And obviously you pursue Torah and you love the Torah. From your letter we see that you obviously invest a lot of time learning Torah. I bless you that the secrets of Torah be revealed to you, and that your heart should find its content in all the secrets of the Torah. And may the Torah continue being the light that shines and guides your path. So again, he returns to the rabbi, gives him songs of praise. Maybe there's a hint to the rabbi that there are parts of Torah he still has to learn. He tells him, you know, may the secrets of Torah still be revealed to you. V'zeh asher amarta. And now he begins. And that which you wrote, Yedideinu, our friend, b'chtavcha, in your letter, ki shamata miktzat achinu anshei galuyoteinu, that you heard about from some of the people. The next thing he's going to say is, and I know you've heard I'm a very big rabbi, I'm really not as great as they tell you. So he begins by telling him, you guys are great. Now he's going to say, and I'm not so great. And then he's going to start telling them what to do. but it's a nice form. And that which you've heard, my reputation, that people praise me and they exalt me and they say I'm one of the great powerhouses of our generation. That's because they like me, so they exaggerated. Because they're nice people, they're kind people, they're giving people. So that's why they wrote such things. But if you want to know the truth, I'll tell you. Don't bother listening to anyone else tell you who I am. I am from the little, from the minor rabbis of Spain. But now that we've all been exiled, our glory has been removed, us Spanish rabbis. And it's true, I'm diligent. I'm always watching over, retaining my Torah. But as hard as I work, I haven't reached the wisdom of my fathers. For we've had a difficult time. The Rambam spent much of his life on the run. We haven't had any time to sit with tranquility. As hard as we've worked, we haven't been given any time to catch our breath. So I haven't learned as much as I should. Yes.
Even though it wouldn't be very helpful, if he's trying to write a letter to people to, you know, give them some chizuk, shouldn't he be like, I am the greatest rabbi in all the land. Everything you've heard about me is true. It wouldn't be humble, but, you know, wouldn't he want them to think, I'm some minor rabbi, so when I say take it or leave it, that's what he thinks he's about himself. Really, that's honestly...
First of all, I think that what Meir is saying is true, that his reputation speaks for himself, and people, obviously the communities are asking him questions, and throughout the world he's known. And secondly, we have to think, why is the Rambam mentioning this? Perhaps the Rambam is about to address their plight. And one of the best ways to address a person's suffering is to first show them that you know what suffering means. You're not writing from a perspective of you're in a ivory palace and you're writing to the people out in the field. They're going to have a hard time buying what you're saying. On the contrary, the Rambam is saying, life's been tough. I can relate.
But I think he also sees himself like this.
The Rambam was honest. Humility stems from honesty. Yes. But I'm like the kid who runs behind the people who do the serious harvesting and picks up the stalks that they drop. That's me, says the Rambam. I'm running behind and I'm picking up the leftovers. I keep trying to collect if it's a good stalk, if it's a bad stalk. I try everything. I've had only a little time to rest in between my work. And if Hashem wouldn't have stepped in and given me this blessing that I could learn something, then I wouldn't have even had what I have now. He says, life's been very, very tough. We've been on the run from the time the Rambam was a child. He had to run with his family. Again, there was an upheaval. New Muslims came in. They're ready to kill any Jew. And on one night's notice, the Rambam's family had to pack out and run. And the Rambam's life had been a series of upheavals. Now, I heard in a history class, and I haven't been able to find it. I downloaded by mistake a history class from YU, I think. And I don't know who said it. And I've been looking and I can't find it since then. They have over 10,000 shiurim there. But again, I don't know who the professor who said it, but he said there that at one period in the Rambam's life, where the Rambam had his whole world collapse around him, his own brother died at sea, and the brother who was supporting him all the time suddenly had debts, and the Rambam had to not only fund himself, he had to support his brother and the orphans and the widow. He wrote over there that the Rambam collapsed, he said. He said that the Rambam spent, I think, a year or two in bed in severe depression. But the Rambam couldn't deal with life. Eventually, he worked his way out of it. But, you know, that's something you don't read in the history books. I don't know where he got it from. That's why I kept looking for the lecturer to see if I could email him, ask him, hey, where'd you get that from? So I'm just saying, the Rambam really had hardships in his life. I know you've met my disciple, Rabbi Shlomo, the young Kohen, and he keeps telling you how great I am. You know, he's exaggerating because he really loves me. And because he likes me so much, so he's gone above and beyond. May God protect him and may he flourish. And we await his return in peace. And now he's going to start addressing their questions. So all this was introductory. What did he say? He said, You Yemenites are lucky to have this amazing rabbi that's world renowned. You Yemenites are world renowned for being a hospitable community, a Torah observant community, a careful community, a community that does everything right, be it in Torah and observance in their treatment of humanity. And you are very fortunate to have such a great rabbi. I'm not as great as you think I am. I'm a little rabbi from the remnants of Spain. And even though you hear my student telling you how great I am, he's exaggerating. Now, your questions? Now let's get to your questions.